Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Just the idea this morning as we get ready to go, I was already talking about in our vacation Bible school, our memory verse, Psalms 139, the last couple verses there, 23, 24, and we'll finish up with that. But this week, thinking about as we start in and get ready for vacation Bible school, as we get ready for our summer and as we're finishing up before we go back to school, and how important that it is for us. If I asked you, when you contemplate and when you think about God, what comes to mind? What are your visions of God when I ask you those ideas? What is your perceptions when you think about God? And this psalm is a psalm of David, and we just, in our Sunday school lesson, I thought how God ties everything together and how David was anointed as the king as a young boy. And this is a psalm that just, it comes from this idea, from that a time of anointing as a young boy. It said that the Spirit of God came upon him, and he had this relationship with God. Was David perfect? No, we know that. But listen, he had a heart. It said a man after God's own heart. And so we see from this man after God's own heart, we see that this was a psalm of David. And it's written to the music, the chief musician. And so it's a psalm worthy of the best that they had for singing. You know, we should give the Lord our very best, should we not? In everything that we do, we'll give the Lord our best in everything sometimes except the things of the Lord. Man, we should be about giving Him our very best. When we come to church, Wednesday night we were talking about, why did you come this morning? It's a great question. Why are we here? What is the motives of our hearts? Why do we come? If we're not careful, we just do it out of routine and out of just something because we know it's the right thing to do. But we should come to worship the Almighty God. We should come to fellowship together with a heart that's focused on Him. And that's what the psalmist here, as he writes this, we see this understanding that this focus on God, and the title of our lesson is Knowing God. How do we come to know this God that we, again, our perceptions, I hope it's not of some old man sitting on a big throne, right? I mean, a Hollywood way of making God. I hope that we see that God is so much greater. It's like the rainbow and the creation and all these things are just things that He made. That's not who He is. He's the creator of all that we see. And so going far above that, and as we, if you think about it, as we live in the high country, have you ever just climbed a mountain just to see the view? Get up on a high place just so you can look off around and see all the beauty. As we were coming back from Parkway, coming between Blowing Rock and coming back over to 421, you know, you'll take that little, sometimes I go out that way to get over to Blowing Rock quicker. And as you're coming through there, my family had come up, my sister had come up from Raleigh. And so down in Raleigh, they don't have a whole lot of mountains, okay, just for the record. And it's a lot hotter, too. She said, she's freezing to death. I said, man, it feels good. But as you go through Aho Gap there, it's what, 3,722 feet, something like that. Well, a real high place, and you can look off on those big views, and you look at the grandeur, man, of the all. You're looking down on things. Listen, this is one of the highest peaks of Scripture this morning, okay? It's one of those times where you're just looking down and seeing the awesomeness of God. And the psalmist is putting it into words, the best words that he can. But listen, there's no way that man could ever attain to the greatness of our God. But He surely comes close. And through the writing of God's Word and through the inspiration of God's Word, God wants us to know Him. Knowing God. And we know Him through His Word. We know Him through His Son. And He's given us these tools that we could do. Calvin in his Institute made this comment. He says, nearly all wisdom we possess, that is to say, sound true wisdom, consists of two parts. The knowledge of God and of ourselves. It's a great statement. The knowledge of God and of ourselves, true wisdom comes from that. And so as we look at this psalm, we see the word know dominates the passage. It's occurring six times, verses 1, 2, 4, 6, 14, and 23. And so we see the psalm is clearly, it's in four stanzas of six. And since our memory verse comes from the last of those stanzas, we're going to do the first two today and then we'll finish up next week. But the idea of knowing God. And I want us to think about that today. And our salvation comes from this knowledge of God. And so let's read the first 12 verses, if you would. Let's stand to our feet in reverence of God's Word. If you're in your Bible, Psalms 139, we'll look at 1 through 12. Psalms 129, 1 through 12. And it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, this is your word. Thank you so much that you revealed yourself to us. We don't have to scratch our head or make up daydreams about who you are, but we can know you through your word and through your son, Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking you just to reveal yourself to us through your word. Lord, you know everybody's need that's here. You know if there's somebody here that don't know you personally, I pray, God, they'll see the living God through the power of the Holy Spirit and come to know you through a relationship in Jesus Christ. And so I thank you for the great privilege. I ask, be glorified through this all. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. This knowing God, understanding the God that we serve. And I'm so glad the psalmist had this awe of him. This looking around and understanding God. But he's pulling it in and putting it into words. And the Holy Spirit is using him to pen these very words that we can draw strength on July 17th. 2016, is the Word of God relevant for today? Yes, it is. He can draw and we can give us strength. And so I want us to think about God. We need to know Him. We need to know God more. We need to grow in our knowledge of God. And here are some things, a couple points from these 12 verses. First, He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Verses 1 through 6, or the word would be omniscient. All-knowing. Oh Lord, you have searched me, the psalmist said, and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O God, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The psalmist starts out right from the beginning stanza with this simple, basic truth. God knows all about you. Do you understand that this morning? God knows all about you. And we'll think about that and flesh that out. He knows absolutely everything. The word omniscience. He doesn't recall anything. He's always conscious of all truths of all time instantly. That's the God that we serve. In seminary, we learned at Southeastern, it talked about a biblical theology. It was called open theist. I thought, how sad that they were. I remember Clark Pinnock was one of the leading ones. Here's what an open theist believes. That God doesn't know what you're going to eat for supper tonight. That's what's making it sound. He don't know what you're going to eat for supper tonight. You know why they say that? Because He's giving you free will. And He's giving you so you have these choices that you can make. God don't know that choice you're going to make. What a sad little God. He knows everything. He even knows, look, He knows what I'm not going to eat for supper tonight, okay? He's God. And so the open theists say that man's free will that God gave us supersedes God's knowledge of omniscience. God, nothing supersedes God's knowledge. He knows everything. And so I want you to know some things that He knows. God knows my heart. Look, He says, you have searched me and known me. God knows my heart this morning. He knows why we came, by the way. He knows even our motives, and we'll talk about that. He knows our heart, and the psalmist says, you know what? He says, you've searched me and known me. God knows me better than we know ourselves. He knows the reality within. Listen to what Hebrews 4:12 says. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it says God knows us and His Word knows us, so we can draw strength from this and read it, because it says, you know what it does? It cuts on me. It does surgery on me. It gets to the places that I hide from you, that I hide from myself sometimes. God's Word penetrates that. And you know what it does? It does a work on me. And He cuts away the chaff. He cuts that which is diseased away. Aren't you glad that we serve a God? He said He's a discerner. He knows my heart. God knows our character. He judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And He knows what to cut away. He knows what's disease. It's the psalmist says, you know me. That's the God that you serve. You know me. For me, this is both convicting and comforting. You say, what are you talking about? He knows me. See, I can put a good show on for you. I can put a good show on even for my wife. But God knows me intimately. He knows my heart. He knows the reason that I do things. He knows my motivations. He knows my decision making. He knows all that. And listen, He knows the wickedness that I have. Oh, you're the pastor. Listen, I'm a man. And I struggle with things just like anybody else does. He knows that. That's convicting, but you know what? That's comforting. He knows that. He knows my heart. And yet He loves me. And He shows me grace and mercy. You say, how do you know that? Well, I'm standing here talking to you right now this morning. I'm really enjoying this breath that I'm using to talk and preach God's Word. I'm really enjoying every beat of that heart that's in there. I'm not saying beat, beat, beat. It's just doing it. Why? Because life, and He gave it to me. He knows me, but far greater than that, He gave me His Holy Spirit, and He saved me from a life of sin. And He planted me on the rock. He took my feet out of the miry clay and He planted me on the solid rock. He knows me. That's convicting, but it's also comforting. That brings me great comfort. You know why? Because I don't have to work to earn His love more. He loves me completely. And when I mess up, He's not going to love me any less. What a praise. Sometimes we feel like we earn human love, don't we? We have to do certain things to get people to like us or love us. God's not like that. He knows. Saba said, He knows my heart. But not only that, He knows my character, but He knows my action. Look at 2 and 3. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. So not only does He know my character and my heart, but He knows my actions. Here's the deal. Listen, when we hear that He knows that, we're all paranoid about Big Brother, right? That's been around since the 80s. We think about, oh, these cell phones. That's their way of keeping up with us. They can, you know, they're listening to our house through our computer. I mean, we got all these conspiracy theories that we come up with, right, Big Brother? Listen, I got one better than that. There's somebody that knows He's with you all the time and listens to everything you do, is with you in your home, is with you when you go in and close the door in the secret place. He's with you. The psalmist said that. He knows my actions, everything that I do. He's with us and we're watched continuously. It's not by Big Brother. It's by the God of the universe. That blows my mind, by the way. That blows my mind to think about a God that cares enough that He's with me. He knows my actions. He knows my heart. Not only does He know my character, but He knows my conduct. Note the opposites. Sitting down, rising up. In other words, that's covering all the actions in between. When you get up in the morning, when you lay down at night, He's with you. Listen, do you understand that He doesn't sleep in the middle of the night? All you that worry about sleep, well, somebody might break in. My mom is the world's worst for that. Bless her heart. Somebody, did you lock a door, son? We're walking down the river. So they might get my pocketbook. I mean, and I realize that some people are like that, but I want you to know something. God doesn't sleep. He's not up there taking a snooze while you're sleeping at night. He's watching over us. He's in control. He knows our conduct. He's with us at all time, and we'll talk about His presence here in just a minute, but He's acquainted with all our daily activity. Listen, that's why we don't compartmentalize our life. Guys, when you go on the shop, when you go on to work, when you're on the farm, whatever you might be doing, ladies as well, we don't separate from God and say, well, that's just for Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday. He's right there with you on the job. He's out there when we're playing. Oh, I got all over that pen. Whew. Oh, I got a big one today. I caught a big one. He's right there with us. He doesn't leave. So we don't compartmentalize our life and say, well, when we do this, God's not with us. No, that's wrong. He's acquainted with us. He's in our conduct. Everywhere we go, we see that He's got this. Not only does He know my heart, but He knows my action. He knows my character. He knows my conduct. He's right there with me. You know what? Even our attitudes and motives, I already talked about this. Our actions are known. He said, you understand my thoughts afar off, is how He puts it. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we come to church? It's a good question. Why? God knows our heart. Is it because mom and dad's going to get mad if we don't? Is it because, hey, this is what we just always do, we know it's the right thing? Or do we come for the purpose of worshiping Almighty God that's been with you? Listen, you've been worshiping all week, by the way. Oh, let me blow your mind here. 365, 24/7 is your reasonable act of worship. We just get to come together and hopefully pour out of a heart that's been pouring out to Him all week. In our jobs, in our work, even up there in the garden when I'm pulling them weeds, saying, you just can't get past these weeds, man. You can pull and pull and pull, and they just keep on coming up, all right? I get mad. He's right there with me. That's scary sometimes, by the way. Some of the things that come to my mind and out my mouth do not please Him. Okay? I'm just being honest. He's with us. He knows my actions. But not, that's what I'm getting ready to say. Not only does He know our heart and our action, but He knows our words. Verse 4, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O God, O Lord, you know it all together. Even before I say it, God knows what you're going to say. Get it, wrap that around. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. Guess what? God even knows what you don't know what to say. He's God. That's mind-blowing. He knows every conversation. And it says He knows them completely. All together is what the psalmist says. He knows it all together. He knows my words. And I don't know about you, but my words are not always pleasant. They're not always seasoned with the Spirit of God. But He knows every one of those words. And even that, it says, from the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. So He's covering all areas today, okay? The God, the knowing the God is knowing that He knows your heart. He knows your conduct. He knows your conversation. He knows our words. Listen, ladies, men, there's not shop talk. There's not a certain way you talk one way and a certain way you talk here or at home. Your language should be the same everywhere you're at. You don't listen to all the junk, the jokes. You don't tell the jokes and say, it's all right, God, I understand. In fact, He says, God knows those conversations. So guys, when you get ready to tell those dirty jokes, just remember God's right there with you, all right? When you get ready to laugh at those dirty jokes, He's right there with you and He's listening to that. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that the world wants to make fun of everything, isn't it? Make a joke out of it. He's not a joke. He's not to be cursed. He's God. He knows our heart. He knows our action. He knows our words. But this, He knows my destiny. Verse 5 through 6. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God knows your course. He knows your course. In fact, He surrounded us. Listen to what it says. You have hedged me behind before. Look, see this idea. Look at God. Behind, before, and then He lays His hand. Look, that's pretty safe, is it not? He's hedged you about. Satan wants you to feel like you're floundering around. He wants to take your joy away. He wants to whisper in your ear constantly that you're a failure. He wants you to feel like you're a million miles away from God. Why? Because He don't want you to grasp the reality that you have a God that's right there with you at all times, that cares about every decision you make, that cares about every word that you make, that secures you and hedges you in, and nothing can touch you unless it comes through that security. Draw strength in that, brother and sister. If you're struggling, you're going through a battle, it came through the hands of a loving God. Wow, that means you can face whatever you face. You can face a bad doctor's appointment. You can face going through emotional these roller coasters of emotions that we go through. You can face all those things. You don't have to listen to the voices. You can trust in the promises that says, if you're His child, He's right there with you. Boom, boom. Get that picture. Man, you don't walk anywhere that He's not there with you. He knows exactly where you're going, knows your decision. He surrounds you with security, makes you safe. We are secure in the knowledge of God and His knowledge of us. God knows our course. We're enveloped by His love and care. This is how we know that He loves. This is how I know that He loves me, okay? Why? He's there. He's present. He knows me. It's the relationship between a child and a father. You love your kids, don't you? You do. You love your kids. You don't have to, somebody has to explain to me how you love your children. Explain to me how you can't. That's the one to explain. We live in a world now that people don't grasp the grandeur of having children, raising them up in the ways of the Lord. Listen, God is so much greater than that. And our love is just a little minute taste of what a Heavenly Father's perfect love is for us. You are His daughter. You are His son. You can rest in that. This morning, Psalmist said, hey, He's grasping a hold of it. He's getting full on the things of God, realizing that God knew him. He says such knowledge is too wonderful. Such knowledge is too wonderful. You know what he said? Extraordinary, man. It's surpassing. What's it surpassing? The psalmist realized he couldn't put it in human terms how great this was, the thought of God knowing his heart, God knowing his actions, God knowing his words, God knowing his destiny. He couldn't even put it in words. He said it's far above our understanding. You know, that's what trips a lot of people up. You've heard me say this. In our vast knowledge, our human knowledge that we feel like is the pinnacle of all knowledge, when we can't put God in our thinking in that box of man's knowledge, time and space, we're not going to believe in Him if we can't understand Him in that way. How sad that is. That's the world that you live in. That's the world they're teaching your kids in college, by the way. That's what they're teaching, that they're the apex. They're the top of the heap. Listen, if we're the top of the heap, that's very sad. Look what we do with it. You could turn on the news and see what we do with all our vast knowledge. How's that education working? We're the most educated people in the world. I turn on the news and it's getting worse and worse. I don't think education is the answer, do you? Unless it's education of God's Word, we need to know God. We can get as smart as you can get. You can't stick another book inside your head and you still miss out on the things of God. In fact, some of the greatest thinkers of all time missed God by about that much and still missed Him by an eternity. It's sad, but that's the world that you live in. That's what we combat against. And the way that we combat about is teaching them to know God. He knows us, and yet He loves us. Praise the Lord. Well, not only is He all-knowing, but look at this, ever-present. We've touched on this, verses 7 through 12. So the psalmist understood that He's all-knowing, He's omniscient, but He's also ever-present, omnipresent. Listen to what he says. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? He said, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as a day. The darkness and the light are both a light to you. Not only is He all-knowing, but He's ever-present. Infinite, boundless, immense. Guess what? Listen, He's not in His object. He's not like the force be with you. Come on. Seriously. He's not a force. He's everywhere. And yet nowhere. Think about that. He's not found in an object. He's God. Think of His circumference is nowhere, but His center is everywhere. He's God. He's omnipresent. You've heard me, and people's heard me talk about the phone, and I'm pretty fascinated by our great things that we have, our technologies of the day, right? We have a phone that we can talk. I can call. Somebody call me up in India. Yeah, it's 12 hours difference, and I'm making that. That'll blow your mind if you get that. 12 hours difference. So it's at night time over there. It's morning time over here, and we're talking, and I'm wondering where those hours went. Right, if you get on a plane, where do those hours go? But we won't go there. But listen, I'm thinking, man, you could talk and be one in voice and talking to somebody just as plain as you're sitting in your house, and yet we're not together. And I'm thinking, I'm so thankful I serve a God. Yes, we're one in voice, but God's touching them and He's touching me. Well, He don't need the technology that we have. In fact, every good gift comes from above. Everything that we have, He gives it to us. He don't need, He's not limited by our needs of technology. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's there with them and He's here with us. Unbelievable. How we think about. So that means we exist in His presence. Do you understand you're in the presence of the Almighty God this morning? That'll change you if you understand you're in the presence of the Almighty God. You don't have to come to this church to be in that presence, by the way. If you're His child, you're in His presence at all times. But it sure is good when we all come together and recognize that presence. That's what's called worship. That's why we call it church. Psalmist said that. And God, here's I want a couple truths with this. We exist in God's presence, so God is with me wherever I go, verses 7 through 10. He says, where can I go from your spirit? What's the answer to that? Nowhere. You can't run from God. Remember we played hide and go seek when you're a kid? Guess what? You can't hide and go seek from God. You can't find a place away from Him. You can't get out of His presence. Oh, there have been many people. I think of an old prophet in the Old Testament. What was his name? Jonah. He tried to run, didn't he? Went down to Joppa and got on a boat and said, I'm heading for Tarshish. Forget about this. I'm getting away from God. And what did he find out? He was in the sea. It wasn't long until they was tossed about. In fact, he had to get thrown overboard. And then he found out he was God of a fish, didn't he? Swallowed him and took him back to where he said, I'm the one told you where to go. And Jonah gets out preaching. You can't run from His presence. No matter where you go. I hope you're not running. If you're running from God today, guess what? Run as you might. He will not leave you. There's no use in running. And the psalmist understood that. He's everywhere I go. And he uses, look, 8 and 9, he uses two pairs of hypotheticals, opposites, which include everything in between. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. He said, these opposites. He said, everything in between. If you remember the Apollo moon mission, and I never got over this, when those guys were circling around, we went to the moon in 1969. All right? And I remember old Walter Cronkite. Remember, he's on there and he's talking about that. And yes, I'm that old. And here we go. And we're sitting there and they're circling the moon before they landed. And you know what they're doing? They're reading Genesis about God, how He created it. I'm thinking, man, 239,000 miles from Earth. You know what they're in? The presence of God. They're experiencing God. Why? Because you can't run. You can go on your probe, farthest probe out here in the galaxy. All you want. Why? He made every one of them. He made every one of them. You can go. You can't get away from His presence. He said, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. He said, if I take the wings of the morning, or if I go at the south, at the speed of light east, and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. You can't go so high and get away from them. You can't go so deep. There's depths of the ocean that's not even been plumbed. It's so deep. But you can go there. God's there. We might not can get there yet. God's there. You can't get away from His presence. And the psalmist understood that. And in 10, verse 10 sums it up. Even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. You know what he's saying? He gives me, even there, wherever I go, He gives me direction and He protects me. Draw strength from that, brother and sister. If you're having a rough time or you've been through a bad time, draw strength in knowing that He wasn't gone. He's right there with you. Satan wants you to feel like you're all alone, but you never are. Why? Because He's with you. His hand, he understands. You shall be there. Your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. He's going to give you direction. He's going to protect you. You cannot get away from God. Our sin, listen to this, our sin is done right in front of Him. Grasp that this morning. Your sin, my sin, is done right in front of God. That hurts. That hurts. When we grasp the magnitude of that, it's not like He turns His back on it either. Our sin is done right in His presence because He's always with us. But it also reminds me of something else. life is about. Listen to me closely. My life is not about pleasing you, although I love you. You're my family, and I love you. My life is not about pleasing my wife, and I love her. Other than Christ, I don't love anybody on this earth more. It's not about pleasing her. And if I'm in the presence of God all the time, it's about pleasing Him. Each and every one of us' life is about pleasing Him. Why? Because He's there with us all the time. That means when I go on my job, when I'm at school, no matter what I'm facing and how I face it, that means when I get behind those pokers on 194 and I want to haul it out the window, He's watching. Bless God, people from Florida and South Carolina cannot drive. I'm sorry if you're from that. But I've got to remember, listen, I've got to remember He's in my presence. He's right there in the car with me. And you know what? He uses the Holy Spirit and Sandy sometimes to remind me of that. Look, you're a pastor. I wish I'm a pastor too. Listen, I mean seriously, we're in the presence of God. That should do something for us. Again, it brings that sense of shame, but it also brings that sense of comfort, knowing that He's always right there with me. I should live to please Him. Everything that I do at home, on the job, at school, everywhere I am is to please Him. It's about pleasing Him. Why? Because I'm in His presence constantly. God is with me everywhere I go, but also lastly, God is with me wherever I am. You say, listen to this. Verses 11 and 12. Distance. Listen to what 11 and 12 says. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. Distance cannot separate me from the omnipresence of God. Darkness cannot hide me from His presence. You realize the darkness is just like daylight to Him. Why is it that man waits till the sun goes down to do his evil deeds? He thinks he's hidden, don't he? Psalmist said, nothing's hidden from God. The night, the darkness is just like the day to Him. There is no darkness. He's light. In fact, God, there is no darkness in Him. Men do all these kinds of evil and they're trying not to be seen, but God sees everything. The God we serve is all-knowing and all-presence. And when I think about this, when I think about these things, and when I'm knowing God, and when the psalmist here, he's wanting us to get a picture of God and to grasp it, I understand that this same man that was a man after God's own heart realized that he sinned greatly, and it was recorded in the Scriptures for us to see, to realize he wasn't perfect. But listen, God was there with him. God saw his sin. God saw his choices. And yet we know that Christ came from the lineage of that man. He forgave him also. Psalm 51 said he repented of his sin and turned to God. Why? Because he came to the reality of it didn't matter when he did it, what time of the day it was, that it was right before God. God knew his heart. God knew everything was. God was in his presence. And you know what? We slip when we forget that. We mess up in life when we realize that we just forget about God. In fact, growing in the Lord and the grace and the knowledge of God is what keeps us growing, what keeps us going forward, is understanding that His presence is always with us and the knowledge of us is completely through and through. We're not trying to fool Him. We're not trying to pull the wool over His eyes. You cannot do that. But it's living in His presence. He sees all the blunders. He sees all the sin. He sees all the wickedness of my heart. But that brings me shame or conviction. But the comfort is knowing that I don't have to pretend for Him. I don't have to put on a show. He knows me. He's always with me. He's ever present. He's all knowing. Knowing God draws us closer to Him. When we grasp this, when we understand that He says He gives us His Word so that we can know Him, He gives us His Son. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't have Christ, you don't know Him. You can't know Him without Christ and His Holy Spirit. You can flounder around and try to make everything work and you seem like you fall on your face constantly. and you're trying to make God fit into your thinking, listen, you'll never know him intimately until you receive Christ as your Savior. You ask him to forgive you of your sin that's always present. He's always knowing. And you receive Christ as the atonement for your sin. His wrath was poured upon Christ for you. Listen, if you don't know Christ this morning, you don't have to leave here the same way. You can know God intimately through his word and through a relationship with Jesus Christ, his Son. What is it that he wants from you? It's tremendous security to know that he's hedged us about. And we walk through life that way. In knowing that he knows me, knowing I don't have to pretend, knowing I don't have to please anybody but him. But you know what I've learned? If you please him, you'll please the ones that love him. Our applications and we'll be done. What does the understanding that God knows everything about you do for your decision making? You know, we make decisions every day. We stand at crossroads. Every day you make decisions that either draw you closer to God or further from God as far as spiritually. He's still right there. But your walk can be tainted. You ever went down that path this way and you feel like, Lord, I'm a million miles away from God. And you know what? The Scripture says he's right there. I'm the one that did the walking. How does it do for your decision making? How about number two? How does knowing God is always with you influence the things you do? Oh, God doesn't care? Yes, he does. And he's right there with you. Always in the presence of God. How does that influence the things you do? It should influence us. It should make us think. Number three, lastly, how will you choose to please God with this understanding? The psalmist wrote this great psalm, looking down, like from that lofty place and saying, this is what God knows and who he is. And we'll finish it up next week. But what about you this morning? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Where are you at in your struggle, maybe? You're struggling. Where are you? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Do you know? You say, well, I have, but you'll do that. You'll question it. Why do you question it? Because is your life living in obedience to His Word? Because when your life lives in obedience to your Word, in fact, John said he wrote his Gospel so that you may know that you're a child of God. You may know that you have this relationship. And listen, once you're in that relationship, the Scripture also says nothing can snatch you from His hand. There's security in that. We'll talk about that tonight. Security in knowing Christ. But listen, if you don't have that security, boy, that's a bad place. Because you're like, I sure hope so. You've heard me say this, people. I sure hope so I'll get to heaven. Listen, if you're resting on a sure hope so, that's sad. You're gambling on something you're trying to do yourself when it's already been done. In Christ. Quit hoping so and know so. If you're living in sin, if you know, hey, I'm a lifetime, it's like, oh my goodness, I know God knows this. I realize, I knew it, but then it's like, no, he knows it and he's present. All you have to do is ask forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My goodness, what a promise. Not a feeling, but a promise that said he'll faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is it that God is saying to you? If the ladies will come and start playing, let's stand on our feet and have our time of invitation. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Nobody's looking around. Just you and God. Remember, he's right there with you, by the way. And he knows your heart. You see, as a pastor, when you preach God's Word, I don't have to talk you into anything or make you feel guilty or anything. The Spirit of God does that. He showed you your heart. Do you have a relationship with him or don't you? If you don't have that relationship, what in the world's holding you back today? There's nothing worth holding on to. Nothing that you can get right with the Lord. If you know you're lost and you need Jesus, come forward whenever they start playing. I mean it. You can come now. Immediately come. Come and say, Lord, I just want to be saved. I just want to receive you. If you're living, you're saying, you know what, God? I've been struggling and I just realized that through the preaching of your word, man, you were right there. And Satan's fooled me, man. He's been trying to make me feel like that you're not there and you don't care. And I just want to say this morning, God, thank you for being there. Always being present. Always knowing. Lord, thank you that I'm not trying to please you. I'm not trying to just earn your love, but I am trying to please you through a relationship through Christ. I'm not trying to earn your love. I've already received it in Christ. I just want to thank you this morning. What is it that God's spoken to your heart? Don't be disobedient. As soon as she starts singing, you come forward. Don't wrestle with it. He's spoken to your heart. Just do it. What about you? Is your glory ever in the cross? I'm trying to figure it out. Well, I need to do this or I need to do that. You ain't going to do nothing. Just make it right. One more stanza. Listen to that beating heart. Sing it with her now. Sing this last stanza. Come on. Sing it, church. Hallelujah. Listen, if walking an aisle is something that you seem very unfamiliar, you were scared, talk to me after church. I'd love to tell you. Jack, come here a minute. Come here, Jack. I'm going to embarrass you. I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to be nervous, but he got baptized this past week, and we hadn't accepted him in our membership. We didn't make that official, Jack. Jack got baptized last week, and he wants to join South Fork Baptist Church. What is the pleasure of the church? Amen. Well, come back with me and we'll receive him and give him the right hand of fellowship. I appreciate you, Jack, so much. Love you. Let's pray. Ted, pray for us and we'll dismiss.